My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's a lot going on here. Is Amari Cooper involved in possible talks? Is he not? Lady who's been all over it for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Back from the Greenbrier, she's Mary Kay Cabot. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are well. Latest on Brandon Ayuk. What do you think?
Well, right now it appears that the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. He has to approve any deal because it includes a contract extension. So if anything is going to happen, Brandon has to sign off on it. And right now it appears that he just doesn't really know exactly what he wants to do, or he hasn't made a decision on that. I do know that the San Francisco 49ers would like to deal with the Cleveland Browns because they really would like to have Amari Cooper. So I've been reporting that for a while. I don't know if the Browns would necessarily be willing to give him up. In a perfect world, they wouldn't. But if they wanted to do this deal, I know that that is something that the 49ers are very attracted to.
Is there any way this deal does not include Amari Cooper? What do you think?
I suppose there is. It would probably have to include something else really good, but if they could get their hands on Amari, then they don't miss a beat. They don't have to lose Brandon and not have a number one receiver. They could just plug and play Amari. So that's why they like the Browns deal.
Mary Kay, is there any chance that they would be interested in, say, Jerry Jeudy and Moore? You'd have to make the money work, I would think. Is Amari the must in this trade, or could maybe it be Jerry Jeudy? Could it be something else?
I think it's Amari at this point. I mean, look at Amari and how good he is, 5-time Pro Bowler. You would, in some respects, be upgrading the position to go from Brandon this year to Amari. So, I do think that that's what they're hoping for. Again, not sure if the Browns would be willing to do that or not, but that's what the 49ers want.
Just curious, how serious do you think this Za'Darius Smith knee injury is?
Well, if it's just a knee contusion, then they really did dodge a bullet, and they don't have that much to worry about. I haven't heard anything more about it yet today. They were going to reevaluate it, so we should know a little bit more this afternoon. But to call it a knee contusion when it looked like something more serious than that, I think that's a great place to start.
And they're doing more testing today. We should have some news a little later on today.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're not going to be super forthcoming at this time of year. Kevin Stefanski will probably say he'll be back out there soon or something like that. I mean, at this time of here, they really don't have to tell us very much about injuries. They don't have to tell us if they're questionable. They don't have to get real specific about the body part. So I don't expect them to give up too much.
I know this is another injury question, but it was just so serious at the time, and I'm wondering if you heard anything more about Deonta Foreman and how he's doing. And I got to be honest, when we were sitting here on the air and they were lifelining him out, football was the least of what I was thinking about for that guy. So where are we with Deonta Foreman? Have you heard anything?
Well, I heard he's getting better and he's coming along, and it wasn't what they feared in the beginning, that it wasn't as serious as it looked, and that also he doesn't have a concussion. He's not in the concussion protocol. So it's probably just a matter of him recovering enough from the pain to get back out there and be able to play. And, or maybe he has, I don't know if he had a stinger, probably not a stinger, because I think a stinger lands you in the concussion protocol. But he is expected to be okay in not too long of a time frame.
So, Mary Kay, we've heard today that Jordan Love is going to play in the preseason opener against the Browns. There are reports out of Detroit Jared Goff will not be playing in the preseason opener for the Lions. Should Deshaun Watson play in the preseason opener and beyond for the Browns?
I'm going to say no in the preseason opener. I don't know if they would do it or not, but I would say no. I would wait on him a little bit because he's ramping up. He's in a different situation than most quarterbacks. So I would give him the time that he needs, at least a few more weeks to get ready to get out there and get some of those live reps. So I don't know what their decision is going to be yet, but I'm going to lean towards no.
What's not ready yet, Mary Kay? What do you think?
I just think he's still in a little bit of a ramp-up phase. There are certain things that he's not doing in practice. Yesterday he was backed off of an 11-on-11 drill at the end of practice, a team drill, and that's just part of the plan right now. He's not expected to do every single thing that the other quarterbacks are doing. He doesn't do a net drill every day when they do that. He simulates his throws into the net. So there are certain things where they're just giving him a little bit of a break on the arm, and that's fine. This is in conjunction with his surgeon, and it's nothing to be alarmed about. But it's still a work in progress.
Mary Kay, are there any battles? I saw a headline today talking about camp battles for the Browns, and I was like, huh? Second string? Third string? When you look at what we're watching right now, do you feel like there's any battles for position?
There are not a lot of battles. When you're looking at Browns practice right now, you're going to see a lot of younger guys out there because there are so many injuries and so many guys that are ramping up and being held out and on different injury lists. So you're not looking out at the full complement of receivers right now in team drills. You're not looking out there at the linebackers. You're not looking out there at the defensive line. These are the areas with the most injuries at this point. But when it comes to everyone being healthy, then you'll start to see a few battles for that number 5-6 receiver spot. You'll see a battle for number 3 quarterback between Dorian and Tyler Huntley, which I think will be on display at the stadium on Saturday night. You will see a battle at left tackle with Jed Wills and maybe Jack Conklin when those guys are healthy. So the battles are coming. They're not really there yet.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. What kind of an impression is Devin Bush making so far, Mary Kay, the linebacker who was with Pittsburgh for his first 4 years, Seattle last year, and now appears to be, at the age of 26, a guy looking for a home and an opportunity?
Well, he has a chance to make the team, especially if he can excel and shine on special teams right now. And then if he can contribute on defense, that's going to be a bonus. He got a nice interception in practice yesterday, which is what you want to do. You want to show up when you get your chances. And they were down 3 linebackers in practice yesterday, and so he got some first-team reps, and he was out there, and he did a nice job. Grabbed an underthrown pass by Deshaun Watson intended for David Bell over the middle. And that's exactly what you want to do in that kind of setting. You want to make them know your name. And he did that at least yesterday. Up until that point, he really hasn't made a huge impact, but he hasn't gotten the reps. He will get more as these next 2 weeks go on.
Mary Kay, little epiphany that on Sunday, just watching training camp, it's just, this isn't the training camps that we used to cover when we first started. When I first started, it's just it doesn't have the same feel, does it? I mean, there's less seats, less dates, less a lot of less of everything, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I do know that it's an opportunity for the fans to get up close and personal, but I do understand they have work to do and they want to get ready for the regular season. Just your overall thoughts on training camp, what it used to be and what it is right now.
Well, certainly not what it used to be back in the day when they went two-a-days and did nutcracker drills and did all kinds of things and knocked heads and had contact and all of that kind of stuff. They don't do that anymore. And when you look around at their regen room, at their new weight room, at all the technology they have, this is a very scientific process now. It's very state-of-the-art and high-tech. They know when guys should be practicing, when they need to be backing off, and it's going to trend even more in that direction where it will be very, very analytics-driven. But I don't think it's hurt the quality of football. I really don't. I think the product is still excellent and still very good, and they're saving some wear and tear on these guys' bodies.
Mary Kay, are there any surprises coming on the offensive line?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they're just waiting to see when Jed and Jack are going to be healthy. And when those guys are healthy, then it will inform who the starting left tackle is for the Cowboys. I don't think we have an answer to that yet.
Will there be a dome stadium? Certainly leaning that way from all accounts, Mary Kay. And when Mayor Bibb sent the proposal to the Haslams and all that stuff, and no disrespect to the mayor here, maybe he just did what he had to do. Yeah, look, I made him an offer. They don't want to take it because there didn't seem to be a whole lot of appealing things in that offer. If you're the Haslams and your one option is renovating a stadium and getting a 30-year lease as opposed to building a new football palace and everything that's going to go along with it, at least according to the plans in Brook Park.
It's tough to say. You know, the last I heard from the Haslams themselves were that they were still considering both options. And until they tell us that they've made a decision one way or the other, I think we have to believe that both options are on the table and are still viable and that they're still working through both things. So I still think that holds true. I get the feeling that they are leaning towards and would prefer the dome, but I don't, you know, sometimes it's hard to separate out what is part of the negotiating tactics and what is reality, and I don't know exactly which way this is going to go yet.
I don't know. It just feels like everything's leaning towards Brook Park right now. I just, because, you know, we keep hearing reports about this, reports about that, and just, but you know, what's better for the football team, I think, is you know, when it comes down to it. I'm still hesitant on, you know, having to be the team in the AFC North that plays indoors, but the benefit for Northeast Ohio to have a building that you can use more than 15 times a year, I think, is it just seems bold and big. And that's got to come into consideration when the Haslams are thinking about this.
It does. I mean, I think there's wisdom in both options. I can see the benefits in both. I get the feeling that they're leaning towards the dome, but even Andrew Berry came out and said that he would prefer the dome. So I kind of feel that that's where they're going with this, but things can change on a dime in these types of negotiations, and I just don't really think we have the full answer yet.
That's interesting. And Andy just said something about AFC North and being the only dome team in the AFC North. Wonder if that could be an advantage, you know, down the road, a competitive advantage. You have a different style team than the others.
Was it an advantage for Houston when we're the AFC Central? I mean, you put that in there. You can think about it that way.
I don't know. I wonder, is it an advantage right now for Detroit? Is it an advantage for Minnesota in their divisions? I don't know that it is, but I don't know that it isn't. And in this day and age, teams seem like they're being built to play a certain kind of football, Mary Kay, that doesn't really matter. You know, you're not seeing the grinded out teams anymore, you know, the teams that are throwing 20 times a game. So I don't know if that actually matters. Do you?
Well, it would certainly be a paradigm shift. I don't know how it would impact whether or not it would give them an advantage or not on the field. I'm not really sure about that. You know, it would be quite different to be going to games in November and December and not having those teams come in worrying about the weather. So, yeah, it would be different. It wouldn't really necessarily feel like old school Cleveland Browns football, and I know that a lot of fans have a problem with that, but it is a wave of the future, you know, for the fan experience to be, you know, really good on game day, and I think that's what the Haslams are aiming for.
We'll be paying all attention to you with the Brandon Ayuk trade talks and the stadium and everything else. Mary Kay, thank you as always.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Her thoughts on Ayuk, her thoughts on Cooper, on the stadium. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
And all of a sudden you're being, you know, offered the opportunity to talk deal with other teams by the Niners and everything else. Do you almost want to say, hey, fellas, I just want to be here? But they seem unwilling to give him the contract that he's looking for. So what do you do? You going for the money? You're going to stay in San Francisco? You're going to back down? You're going to take more money to go to New England, according to some reports? Or you're going to go to the Browns because you have a chance to win? I would think if you're holding out now, and you're looking for something, it's because you want money. I mean, if you want a chance to win, stay in San Francisco. Come to Cleveland. But San Francisco gives you a great chance to win. They're a terrific organization, terrific team. They should be competitive. That appears to not be the case, and I get that. If you're an individual contractor, which is what these NFL players are,
true.
What do you got to do? You got to get paid. you have to get paid. And if winning comes along with that, congratulations. If it doesn't, at least you got paid.
After talking to Mary Kay, it seems like the ball is just sitting there waiting for him to pick what he wants.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it sounds like?
What it sounds like.
Do you want to go to Boston, New England? Is that where you want to go? Or do you want to go to Cleveland?
Well, here, Mary Kay Cabot from the plaindealofcleveland.com was with us last segment. Here's what she said about it.
Right now, it appears that the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. He has to approve any deal because it includes a contract extension. If anything is going to happen, Brandon has to sign off on it. And right now, it appears that he just doesn't really know exactly what he wants to do, or he hasn't made a decision on that. I do know that the San Francisco 49ers would like to deal with the Cleveland Browns because they really would like to have Amari Cooper. So I've been reporting that for a while. I don't know if the Browns would necessarily be willing to give him up. In a perfect world, they wouldn't. But if they wanted to do this deal, I know that that is something that the 49ers are very attracted to.
Okay. And if you're the Patriots, you know, like one rumor I saw was Kendrick Bourne. Well, he was a Niner. Why do they want him back? Apparently, no.
But the framework is in place. I saw that headline about 30,000 times last night.
I wonder what the framework is.
Well, and that's the other thing is we're sitting here guessing. I mean, maybe there is a way around this thing where you're not giving up Amari Cooper. I don't know. Mary Kay didn't rule it out. But if you're San Francisco, why wouldn't you want, plug and play? That's what you want. You want someone that's not going to change the way you're doing things. So, or take a minimal hit offensively with a wide receiver. I also wonder how much he's sitting there going, oh, well, maybe I just don't want the contract extension. I'll just stay here in San Francisco. He's got to be kicking that around too, don't you think?
Well, I would think that's a possibility. He's in the final year of his contract. And it's he's a free agent at the end of the year. I understand wanting security, but you could also roll the dice and become a huge free agent on the market next year. But you're rolling the dice a little bit, playing in the last year of a contract.
What would you do if you were him?
I would, if I wanted to play in Cleveland or I wanted to play in New England, or I thought either one of those situations was a good one, I would go ahead and sign and get traded.
Yeah, like I don't understand why he wouldn't have taken the deal here now already. Like, what would be holding him back at this point? Is he talking to his family? Is he say, I just need 24 hours to think about this?
He went to Arizona State. I think he's a high school kid in Nevada. Moving all the way across the country to
or either one of those teams,
Boston or to Cleveland. I mean, he's in San Francisco right now. He's close to Arizona, close enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's still
close to Nevada. But that's one thing that I don't think gets factored into things quite as much.
Personal life?
Yeah. Where do you actually want to live? And if you can live on the West Coast, if you're a West Coast guy, I'm sorry, that's better than going to the Baltimore Ravens or going to the New England Patriots or going to the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cleveland Browns, if that's part of what you want to do. If you're a Midwest guy, well, wouldn't you want to play in the Midwest? If you're happy and your family's here and everything else, I would think so.
Yeah, it's a business though, and that's this has been a weird conversation like all morning because I'm not ready to say goodbye to Amari Cooper.
No, neither am I. I like him.
I don't know. You got to give something to get something, and that's the one thing that keeps driving my whole thought process on this to make the deal if the opportunity is there. But then again, the whole opportunity for movement in a trade like this sits in the hands of the player, which is another thing that is kind of unusual when it comes to a trade scenario, right? Mm-hmm. How often do we, we hear like in the NBA all the time about, well, he's got a no trade contract. Is he willing to waive that? But normally by the time that hits the press or that hits, media, that's already been decided, whether they've decided they're going to waive or not. This is a situation where we're all kind of in limbo. We're waiting to hear what he wants to do. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, we are waiting, and so stay tuned. the rumblings were out there about this, but that's about all that's out there about this right now. You're just rumblings about things. The knee injury, if it is a knee contusion to Za'Darius Smith, would be an absolute boost for the Browns, because when a guy gets carted off the field in a goal line drill and is grabbing his knee, you're usually thinking the worst. And that's not the case, apparently. So stay tuned on that. But, you know, think about guys the Browns really don't need to lose. He's pretty close to the top of the list. I'd say he's in the top 10, 15 guys on the roster who's vital here. I think Za'Darius is one of those guys, Andy.
I really do. I mean, I don't know how you would think that he's not. And when you look at the 1-2 punch you've got on the outside for the defensive front between Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, you're talking about, you know, one of the best tandems in the NFL, if not the best tandem in the NFL for two guys. And then you can look and you've got, you know, Double O sitting there and Alex Wright sitting there. And then
Double O's huge. But, boy, the combination of having, as you said, Myles and Smith and Oba Okoronkwo, mm-hmm. and then Alex Wright coming along, that's a quartet that I really like. And without one of those four guys, if it happened to be Za'Darius, you know, let's say the knee injury keeps him out, okay, it's a little weaker spot, and then you're going to need somebody else to
really
step up. Well,
and Dalvin Tomlinson's on the pup, so now you've got, I mean, you've essentially said...
Although he's playing inside.
Right, but you're taking the whole left side.
Exactly.
And so now you're like, okay, our right side's good, but now we're going to be using... I mean, I think Double O could start on most teams in the NFL anyway. I think he was brought here to be a starter. So you put that, and then they keep talking. I mean, you heard what Za'Darius said about Mike Hall the other day and the accolades he gave him about maybe being able to step up and play the inside on the defensive front. I just feel like this is one of the spots where they have depth on this team that, you know, you go back and... Man, was it 2 or 3 years ago? You got two guys that were listed to start, and you had like weird things happen in the offseason. Now all of a sudden, you're looking at your defensive line going, what are we going to do? I don't think they're in that position anymore. I think that they have quality guys that can, you know, sit there a second. And then knowing Jim Schwartz and how he wants to, you know, keep rotating these guys as fast as he can. We're not even talking about guys like, you know, Isaiah McGuire or Mo Hurst or Siaki Ika, right? We're talking about the first eight guys on the defensive front. So, but, you know, if you lose Smith and your Tomlinson's out to start the season, that's a major setback for that defensive line. I'm not saying that we don't have guys that can't fill the holes there, but now you're like another injury away, we might have some trouble.
Fingers crossed that he's okay. And maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that today. Maybe we'll have to wait and see.
But when they said contusion to the knee, I think we all kind of went, okay, it's not. Maybe it's a lot better than
still keep you out a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks get you back for game one of
yes,
the season, though.
It certainly does, you know, doesn't it?
Carted off on a, I guess essentially it's carting. When you get carted off, that's normally the
modus operandi there.
that thing may as well take you to the OR, right? Where are we going? He's on the cart, man.
He's on the cart. Okay.
How many miles do we get on this thing? What's the closest
game? He's on the cart. Okay, everybody come over, pat him on the shoulder pads. He drives away. Next man up, let's go.
Welcome
to life in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing. Does it seem to you, I must admit, I'm not quite there yet, that we're going to see this team on the field on Saturday?
No.
It doesn't to me either.
I'm not there. It was weird to watch the Hall of Fame game last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, they just started practice.
Yeah.
It seemed too fast.
That's what I thought.
Just get me to the season. I'm just glad there's only three preseason games now.
I thought Mary Kay's thought about Deshaun in not playing in preseason game number one was interesting. That maybe he's not quite ready to go yet and still has some things to work on.
Jeff, he looked good throwing the ball the other day. I know it was 7-on-7, but if in normal circumstances, if this was week one of the regular season, he'd be out there and he'd be playing and he can throw. There's no question about it. He can throw. Scott Petrek said that again yesterday too. I keep quoting Scott from yesterday, but he said once he saw him at minicamp throw the ball, he knew he'd be okay, and he'd look good on Sunday. I know I missed yesterday's practice, but looking at him on Sunday, he looked like an NFL quarterback. and he threw the ball with zip, and he threw the ball with accuracy. And it was, you know, yeah, I think back to when we first got him and he kept throwing the ball on the ground. That was not the Deshaun Watson I saw at practice on Sunday, and I don't think anybody out there saw. They all saw, I think, what I saw. So I thought he looked good.
I did,
or whatever
too.
That's worth at a practice.
Yeah. We're going to talk more football a little bit later on in the show, stadium thoughts as well, and we'll stay on top of everything with Brandon Ayuk, and if the Haslams happen to make a call on the stadium today, you'll hear it right here on The Fan. Mandy Bell is going to join us to talk Guardians coming up at noon.
Ooh,
and Andy, the lead's 3.5.
Oh, you're starting to sweat it, huh?
No, well, I've been paying attention for some time.
Scoreboard,
I don't think it's
too
insurmountable.
Early. Too early,
no,
scoreboard.
No, yeah, it's not. Yeah,
for you,
Mandy
miss.
At noon. Coming up next, we're going to talk about that Swedish gold medal winner in the pole vault. You know, my favorite Swede, born and raised in Louisiana. What's that all about on Baskin and Phelps? Mentioned before the game started, it's one of the things I enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
And the pole vault event to me was, and I watched a good chunk of it last night. Armand Duplantis is the gold medal winner.
His
name is Mondo.
Yeah, Mondo.
Mondo is competing for Sweden, and I get this. This is okay. No issues here. But it's like, dang. His mother is Swedish, and his father is an American guy.
Okay.
And they were both, you know, track and field athletes. His dad was a pole vaulter, and his mom was in the heptathlon and did some other events. And he decided to compete for Sweden.
Okay.
And apparently, his mom was also a volleyball player.
Wow, talk about athletics.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the heptathlon, which is 7 events. And apparently, he was thinking he was going to compete for the United States. And then apparently, from what I've read, Sweden called and offered his dad a coaching opportunity.
Oh, wow.
Well, by golly, the kid's suddenly competing for Sweden.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Even though he was born and raised in Lafayette, Louisiana, and went to LSU. So whatever, that's good. This was kind of cool last night. He had the gold medal wrapped up and decided to keep jumping to try for the world record.
Wow. I missed this.
Isn't that kind of cool?
That is awesome. Yeah.
Because I mean, that's putting on a show, right?
Yeah.
Why'd you go? You went to get the Olympic gold. Well, he did that, and he kept going, and he got the Olympic. He got the world record.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And watching the pole vault, to me, it's one of those really stupid things. If you just think about it, I'm going to run really fast with this great big long stick, plant it in the ground, and fling myself over a bar for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that's correct.
Why are we doing this? I don't know, but it's a cool event. And he went up and over and flipped his body. And it was fascinating to watch.
I mean, you never know when you're going to be in an action film and you've got to do this over a brick wall.
That.
Yes.
I mean, like high jump? Okay, you might have to jump over something in life. You know what I mean? Well, think about it.
I guess.
Think about it. We've all jumped over something in life, right?
Yeah.
When's the last time you grabbed a great big long stick, ran with it like crazy, Andy, planted it in the ground, and flung yourself over anything?
8th grade.
Did
and
you?
I stopped.
Did you try pole vault?
Oh, I put the pole in the thing, and I'm like, I'm not going up in the air. Are you kidding?
Are you okay with And are you okay with an American kid?
Is he?
Well, he is.
But
he was born and raised in the States to an American father and a mother who is here in the States.
Okay.
And he grew up here. Are you okay with, I mean, because he has every right to compete for Sweden because that's his, you know, his birth of his mother.
Yeah, he embraces his mother's heritage.
Which is okay.
Yeah, I don't.
You okay with that?
Yeah. How many times have you, like, I'm watching these guys line up for the 100 or for anything else, and they're like, they're from all over the world, but they're going to schools here in the United States.
I was just
going
to say that exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
It's like the woman who won from, gosh, I forget, St. Lucia? Is that where she's from? Won the 100-meter dash and beat Shikari Richardson in the 100-meter dash. Goes to the University of Texas.
Yeah. I was watching some of this. It must have been the early prelims for the men's 100. And I'm looking and I'm like, man, I think some of these guys stopped by a t-shirt shop to get their country's, you know, logo put on the front of their jerseys. I've never heard of any of these places. Now, that's my fault for not being worldly and not understanding some of the countries from around the world. But I'm like, wow, really? You know, so I find it interesting. That's why I think I like the Olympics. And I also find myself rooting for more than just the United States teams. And I think maybe that's just because I'm getting older. Do I want USA to win every time they step out? Yes.
Yeah.
I do. But sometimes I catch
some
myself.
Some of these stories are great.
Yeah, you start watching other countries go at it. And you're like, I was watching. I don't know why, but fencing for some reason just kind of sucked me in this year. And so, and I didn't care. They were from two different other countries. And I'm like, wow. Oh, wow. What do you mean he stepped over the line? Well, oh, they touched at the same time? And then I'm kind of mesmerized by the lights that go off when they do a touch. And you're like, oh, look at that. This is cool. And then you come out with a mask on, but you can't see somebody's face. And yet they decided they were going to put their country's flag on the mask. I don't know why. I've never really been into fencing. And for some reason, I got hooked. The other thing I'm completely hooked on is the Kevin Hart, Kenan Thompson show. It's hysterical.
That's a TV show.
Yeah, but they're talking about Olympic stuff.
Okay, that's fine. Let me ask you this. First of all, I see fencing lessons in your future. And anybody who would like to offer Baskin fencing lessons.
No, I'm out, man. I'm out.
Go to CLE Talking Heads.
No. I just like to watch it. That's it.
Can I say something that is sacrilege?
Put your finger near the dumb button there, Menigan. Let's find out. Let's go. Go. Yeah, sure. You can say whatever you want.
Women's gymnastics drives me nuts.
Why?
This is why. First and foremost, they are phenomenal athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff they do, I mean, it's scary, it's frightening, it's dangerous, and they're phenomenal. I hate the judgmental aspect of the sport.
Oh, I get what you're saying there, yeah.
You know, I mean, like the dude on the pole vault. Hey, the pole's at 20 feet 6 inches. Did you clear it? Congratulations, you won. It's so...
Team handball, we scored more goals than you did.
Right.
Okay, you won. I get it.
Swimming. Did I touch the wall before you did? I won. This. Yeah, you know what? I didn't like the rotation on your quadruple flipperoony, whatever it is. And then when you landed, your foot moved 2 inches after you landed. So that's a deduction. And then last night in the women's floor exercise... Did you see this? Simone Biles finished second behind the young lady from Brazil. And then Jordan Chiles, the last person to compete, went out and finished fifth.
By the way, she was on Olympic highlights. She was so funny. It was awesome. Keep going. Yes.
But then her coach appealed the level of difficulty of her routine, thinking that she didn't quite get all the credit she was due. So they went in and did a video quick replay of it. And you know what? You're right. That had an extra tenth of a point of degree of difficulty. Boom. She jumped from fifth to third and won the bronze. And there's this nice Romanian.
Feels shady. Is that what you're saying?
It's just weird. There was a Romanian young lady who was celebrating already because she had finished third.
Right.
And she's waving the flag and she's wrapped herself in the flag and she's jumping up and down. And as Jordan Chiles is looking up at the scoreboard, she's looking at it as it changed and popped her up into third. She starts celebrating, and the Romanian gal's looking around like, what the just happened to me? And then she's...
You start crying?
She's bawling her eyes out, and she's walking out. And it's just... And then afterwards, the ladies were talking, and the ceremony, they bowed down to the gal from Brazil, which was really
right.
Cool. That was kind of fun. But then there was this. The balance beam, Simone Biles fell on the balance beam,
mm-hmm.
So that didn't work out too well. And one of the other Americans fell off the balance beam, Suni Lee. And then they were saying afterwards, Simone Biles was saying, well, none of us were happy with the setup because we usually, in this situation, you know, there are other events going on while we're doing the beam and
right.
Everything else. So there's music and there's noise and there's everything else going on. Well, there wasn't any music or noise. And we didn't like that. Well, why not? That's it's like a
golfer getting mad about a camera click in their backswing. It's the same thing, right?
Exactly.
They want the dead silence. These guys want the music on the outside.
These guys want noise. Except guess what? The event is not done with noise. It's just noise that's happening at a gymnastics meet that's just happens to be, you know, the ambiance of the place. There's noise going on. There's people cheering. There's all kinds of stuff. And they thought that they were distracted because it was quiet. And then they were hearing people do gasps and things like that. And it's like, it just adds to the whole drama. I mentioned this to my wife, and she made a great comment. She said, well, this is all just entertainment, you know. And I said, yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of work.
But it's become so much drama with this, the women's gymnastics stuff. And I think it's interesting, and they're incredible athletes.
You know,
but wow, man, it drives me nuts.
You know how I feel about, like, high school, college basketball, five fouls, you're out, you didn't do anything egregious.
Gee, no.
Could there be anything more harsh than a sprinter who has a false start? Oh, my God.
They're now dead, right? They're
out. You're disqualified.
That's ridiculous.
So I was watching, again, the early prelims on Saturday morning, and there was, like, a 17-year-old, and I can't remember what country they were from, and he thought he heard someone in the crowd made a noise. That's what he was saying.
And he thought it was the gun?
Yeah. And so he kind of jumped, and he looked up, and he looked at the official, and he's like, hey, somebody said something,
and,
like, I heard somebody make the noise. And the other part of this is, I think it's going to get interesting with track two.
That repêché thing again?
It was, yeah. Well,
but maybe, it wasn't one of those races?
No, it wasn't a repêché.
That's a new word we learned, Dan. Repêché.
Get you guys becoming multicultural.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
really
proud.
Cool. Man, we feel good about it. Or, as I like to call it, do-over. That
Mulligan.
Whoopsie doodle.
I felt really bad for the kid. And so the other part of it was...
You imagine
so now,
that? You make the Olympics, and then you have one false start, and you're out?
You know what? And if it's a questionable false start, or they can go back and listen to the tape and hear someone make the noise that the other seven people didn't hear on the line, or eight people on the line didn't hear, then let them run the race under protest, and then go back and then either uphold it or don't. Why not? It seems weird, and Dan, maybe you're with me on this too, that when you have a track meet like that, you're running and you got someone in lane one and then lane three because lane two got DQ'd. Let the guy run. Let the girl run.
All I know is it's been fabulous to watch, and I'm really enjoying the track and field stuff. It's great, and it continues. Mandy Bell covers the Guardians for MLB.com. Mandy's job is becoming a little more tense. We're going to talk to her about the Guardians, whose lead isn't what it used to be. Next on Baskin and Phelps. I mentioned before the game started, it's one of the things I enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
And the pole vault event to me was, and I watched a good chunk of it last night. Armand Duplantis is the gold medal winner.
Yeah.
His name is Mondo.
Yeah, Mondo.
Mondo is... competing for Sweden. And I get this is okay, no issues here, but it's like, dang. His mother is Swedish and his father is an American guy.
Okay.
And they were both, you know, track and field athletes. His dad was a pole vaulter and his mom was in the heptathlon and did some other events, and he decided to compete for Sweden.
Okay.
And apparently his mom was also a volleyball player.
Wow. Talk about athletics.
Yeah. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the heptathlon, which is seven events. And apparently he was thinking he was going to compete for the United States. And then apparently, from what I've read, Sweden called and offered his dad a coaching opportunity.
Oh, wow.
Well, by golly, the kid's suddenly competing for Sweden.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Even though he was born and raised in Lafayette, Louisiana, and went to LSU. So whatever, that's good. This was kind of cool last night. He had the gold medal wrapped up and decided to keep jumping to try for the world record.
Wow. I miss this.
Isn't that kind of cool?
That is awesome. Yeah.
Because I mean, that's putting on a show, right?
Yeah.
Why'd you go? You went to get the Olympic gold. Well, he did that, and he kept going, and he got the Olympic. He got the world record.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And watching the pole vault, to me, it's one of those really stupid things if you just think about it. I'm going to run really fast with this great big long stick, plant it in the ground, and fling myself over a bar for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that's correct.
Why are we doing this? I don't know, but it's a cool event. And he went up and over and flipped his body, and it was fascinating to watch.
I mean, you never know when you're going to be in an action film, and you've got to do this over a brick wall. That. Yes.
I mean, like high jump? Okay, you might have to jump over something in life. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Think about it. We've all jumped over something in life, right?
Yeah.
When's the last time you grabbed a great big long stick, ran with it like crazy, Andy, planted it in the ground, and flung yourself over anything?
Eighth grade.
Did
and
you?
I stopped.
Did you try pole vault?
Oh, I put the pole in the thing, and I'm like, I'm not going up in the air. Are you kidding?
Are you okay with an American kid?
Is he?
Well, he is.
But
he was born and raised in the States to an American father and a mother who is here in the States.
Okay.
And he grew up here. Are you okay with? I mean, because he has every right to compete for Sweden because that's his, you know, his birth of his mother.
Yeah, he embraces his mother's heritage.
Which and so is he's okay.
Yeah, I don't.
You okay with that?
Yeah. How many times I'm watching these guys line up for the 100 or for anything else, and they're like, they're from all over the world, but they're going to schools here in the United States.
I was
States
just
going
to say that exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
It's like the woman who won from, gosh, I forget, St. Lucia? Is that where she's from? Won the 100-meter dash and beat Shikari Richardson in the 100-meter dash. Goes to the University of Texas.
Yeah, I was watching some of this. It must have been the early prelims for the men's 100, and I'm looking, and I'm like, man, I think some of these guys stopped by a T-shirt shop to get their country's, you know, logo put on the front of their jerseys. I've never heard of any of these places. Now, that's my fault for not being worldly and not understanding some of the countries from around the world. But I'm like, wow, really? You know, so I find it interesting. That's why I think I like the Olympics. And I also find myself rooting for more than just the United States teams. And I think maybe that's just because I'm getting older. Do I want USA to win every time they step out? Yes.
Yeah.
I do. But sometimes I catch
some
myself.
Some of these stories are great.
Yeah. You start watching other countries go at it. And you're like, I was watching. I don't know why, but fencing for some reason just kind of sucked me in this year. And so, and I didn't care. They were from two different other countries. And I'm like, wow. Oh, wow. What do you mean he stepped over the line? Well, oh, they touched at the same time? And then I'm kind of mesmerized by the lights that go off when they do a touch. And you're like, oh, look at that. This is cool. And then you come out with a mask on, but you can't see somebody's face. And yet they decided they were going to put their country's flag on the mask. I don't know why. I've never really been into fencing. And for some reason, I got hooked. The other thing I'm completely hooked on is the Kevin Hart, Kenan Thompson show. It's hysterical.
That's a TV show.
Yeah, but they're talking about Olympic stuff.
Okay, that's fine. Let me ask you this. First of all, I see fencing lessons in your future, and anybody who would like to offer Baskin fencing lessons.
No, I'm out, man. I'm out.
Go to CLE Talking Heads.
No. I just like to watch it. That's it.
Can I say something that is sacrilege?
Put your finger near the dump button there, Menigan. Let's find out. Let's go. Yeah, sure. You can say whatever you want.
Women's gymnastics drives me nuts.
Why?
This is why. First and foremost, they are phenomenal athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff they do, I mean, it's scary, it's frightening, it's dangerous, and they're phenomenal. I hate the judgmental aspect of the sport.
Oh, I get what you're saying there, yeah.
You know, I mean, like the dude on the pole vault. Hey, the pole's at 20 feet 6 inches. Did you clear it? Congratulations, you won. It's so...
Team handball, we scored more goals than you did.
Right.
Okay, you won. I get it.
Swimming. Did I touch the wall before you did? I won. This. Yeah, you know what? I didn't like the rotation on your quadruple flipper-rooney, whatever it is. And then when you landed, your foot moved 2 inches after you landed. So that's a deduction. And then last night in the women's floor exercise, did you see this? Simone Biles finished second behind the young lady from Brazil. And then Jordan Chiles, the last person to compete, went out and finished fifth.
By the way, she was on Olympic highlights. She was so funny. It was awesome. Keep going. Yes.
But then her coach appealed the level of difficulty of her routine, thinking that she didn't quite get all the credit she was due. So they went in and did a video quick replay of it. And you know what? You're right. That had an extra tenth of a point of degree of difficulty. Boom. She jumped from fifth to third and won the bronze. And there's this nice Romanian.
Feels shady. Is that what you're saying?
It's just weird. There was a Romanian young lady who was celebrating already because she had finished third.
Right.
And she's waving the flag and she's wrapped herself in the flag and she's jumping up and down. And as Jordan Chiles is looking up at the scoreboard, she's looking at it as it changed and popped her up into third. She starts celebrating and the Romanian gal's looking around like, what the just happened to me? And then she
start crying.
She's bawling her eyes out. She's walking out, and it's just and then afterwards, the ladies were talking, and the ceremony, they bowed down to the gal from Brazil, which was really right. Cool. That was kind of fun. But then there was this, the balance beam. Simone Biles fell on the balance beam, mm-hmm. So that didn't work out too well. And one of the other Americans fell off the balance beam, Suni Lee. And then they were saying afterwards, Simone Biles was saying, well, none of us were happy with the setup because we usually, in this situation, you know, there are other events going on while we're doing the beam right. And everything else. So there's music and there's noise and there's everything else going on. Well, there wasn't any music or noise. And we didn't like that. Well, why not? It's like
a golfer getting mad about a camera click in their backswing. It's the same thing, right?
Exactly.
They want the dead silence. These guys want the music on the outside.
These guys want noise. Except guess what? The event is not done with noise. It's just noise that's happening at a gymnastics meet that's just happens to be, you know, the ambiance of the place. There's noise going on. There's people cheering. There's all kinds of stuff. And they thought that they were distracted because it was quiet. And then they were hearing people do gasps and things like that. And it's like, it just adds to the whole drama. I mentioned this to my wife and she made a great comment. She said, well, this is all just entertainment, you know? And I said, yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of work.
But it's become so much drama with this, the women's gymnastics stuff. And it's interesting and they're incredible athletes.
You know,
but wow, man, it drives me nuts.
You know how I feel about like high school, college basketball, five fouls, you're out, you didn't do anything egregious.
Gee, no.
Could there be anything more harsh than a sprinter who has a false start? Oh my God.
They're now dead, right? They're
out. You're disqualified.
That's ridiculous.
So I was watching again the early prelims on Saturday morning and there was like a 17-year-old. And I can't remember what country they were from. And he thought he heard someone in the crowd made a noise. That's what he was saying.
And he thought it was the gun?
Yeah. And so he kind of jumped and he looked up and he looked at the official and he's like, hey, somebody said something.
And
like, I heard somebody make the noise. And the other part of this is I think it's going to get interesting with track too.
That repêché thing again?
It was, yeah. Well,
but
maybe,
it wasn't one of those races?
No, it wasn't a repêché.
That's a new word we learned, Dan. Repêché.
Get you guys becoming multicultural.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
really
proud.
Cool. Man, we feel good about it. Or as I like to call it, do-over.
Mulligan.
Whoopsie doodle.
I felt really bad for the kid. And so the other part of it was...
You imagine that? You make the Olympics and then you have one false start and you're
and
out?
You know what? And if it's a questionable false start, or they can go back and listen to the tape and hear someone make the noise that the other seven people didn't hear on the line or eight people on the line didn't hear, then let them run the race under protest and then go back and then either uphold it or don't. Why not? It seems weird, and Dan, maybe you're with me on this too, that when you have a track meet like that, you're running and you got someone in lane one and then lane three because lane two got DQ'd. Let the guy run. Let the girl run.
All I know is it's been fabulous to watch, and I'm really enjoying the track and field stuff. It's great, and it continues. Mandy Bell covers the Guardians for MLB.com. Mandy's job is becoming a little more tense. We're going to talk to her about the Guardians, whose lead isn't what it used to be. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!